This is Harry Murray with our podcast on smallmouth bass fly fishing. Last week, we talked about the motivations for just why we would go fly fishing for smallmouth bass. This week, we're going to talk about the tackle, the rods, reels, lines, that type thing. Next week, we're going to talk about the various foods that the smallmouth feed on. Then the fourth one I'm real excited about. We've got a picture we're going to show you how to actually read the water in a smallmouth river. Now, following that fourth podcast, we're going to get in a seasonal sequence with 15 podcasts on smallmouth that'll run all the way to the end of the season, and we're going to be talking about the fishing tactics that are used in the Virginia area, so you may have to extrapolate this a little bit. But we're going to talk about that in a seasonal sequence, starting with the higher streams in the spring and going all the way through to the low streams in the latter part of the summer and then on into the fall. So we've got 15 of these. I hope you can benefit from them. But today, let's talk about the tackle. Now, we're throwing relatively large and or heavy bulky flies. I really do prefer a 7 or 8 weight line for this. Consequently, the rod has to balance with that. I especially like the Scott Murray bass rod. What do we mean when we say bass rod? A rod that has a little bit stronger tip than the average rod, but is a little bit slower in the butt section. I'd say a medium action in the butt section. Now, how do I decide whether I'm going to grab my 7-weight rod? In fact, I'm going tonight. How do I decide if I'm going to grab my 7-weight or 8-weight going out the front door? So tonight after work, our river is carrying a lot of water. I'll probably go to some size 4 heavy Helgramites. This would balance best with the number 8 line. So the 4 is the magic number, and the same thing in the summer. If I'm throwing a lot of number 4 surface bugs, I'm probably going to use the 8 weight. So a 7 and 8 weight with a bass action being a stronger tip and a little bit slower butt section than, for instance, a trout rod, these work well for our needs. I do like a 9-foot rod because I like that extra drag control I get as compared to the shorter rod. Now, on the reels, don't have to get real fancy on this. Something that would weigh probably a little over 4 ounces up to maybe 6 ounces that'll carry the line with 100 yards of backing. And I want an extra spool there that would let me carry the sink tip and maybe even a teeny line. Now, why 100 yards? No, I'll never need that on smallmouth, but we've got some very big carp around here. We got into a lot of them last year, and yes, you could easily use 100 yards of backing on some of these 20-pound carp. So a reel that'll hold the line that you're going to be using, 100 yards of backing, has a reasonable drag, and that is reasonably durable. Now, I use 3 different lines on smallmouth fishing. My primary line is what we call a weight forward floating bass bug taper line. Again, this would be in the 7 and 8 weight that would balance with my rod. Bass bug tapers have a little shorter front taper than the equivalent trout line, and they just turn the big bugs over a lot better. Now, that's my primary line. My sinking tip line, which I may use tonight since the river is high, I like the Scientific Angler Mastery Sink Tip 3. This sinks in the first 10 to 15 feet at about 2 to 4 inches per second. I like this because it lets me get down deeply, yet the floating portion casts real well. Now, if my river is going to be rolling, I would probably go to a Teeny 200. And this has about 28 feet of sinking line, sinks for about 5.5 inches per second. So those are my 3 lines, my bass bug taper floating line, my sink tip 3 line, and the teeny. But you could get by for a long time without using the teeny if you had the other 2. Leaders almost across the board on my floating outfit. I like the Murray's Bright Butt 9-foot 2X leader. I put 2 SA indicators on there. I have 1 in the butt section and 1 in that next strand down. And this lets me see what I'm doing. Now, on those 2 sinking outfits, I go to a 5-foot leader on there. Waders. A lot of leeway on waders. What I would encourage on waders is using the stocking foot wader that you use the shoes with rather than the whole boot foot job. The stocking foot gives you the flexibility of using that in the cold water, which basically in my country means before June and after September. You want the stocking foot waders with the cleated or metal studs in the shoes. Now, the nice thing about that is when it gets warm in the summer, I can leave my waders behind, put the shoes on, and away I go. Now, be sure when you're using just the shoes to use one of those little neoprene booties. This helps keep the rocks out of your shoes and out from down on the inside, and it makes a whole lot more comfortable. Vest is a matter of personal preference. I like a lightweight vest. The one I use for bass fishing is a mesh construction. I do like a Bella's pocket because I'll carry my raincoat back there. I'll carry my lunch, water, all that stuff goes in the back of my vest. So I do like a Bella's pocket. The one I'm using is made by Sims, and it's an excellent vest. Raincoats, I like a lightweight Gore-Tex type thing. Something certainly light enough that you can get in the back of your vest. Now, don't think that you don't need that just because you're out here in the middle of July and the air temperature is quite warm. We were fishing with some good friends a couple summers ago. A storm moved in the middle of the summer, and two of the people felt like they were going to freeze to death before they got out of there. Two of them didn't have raincoats, and it rained on us for about 4 or 5 hours, and they were very cold. Hat. You want something that's going to protect your eyes and give you good vision in reading the water. Something with a big bill, dark brim underneath. Sunglasses, definitely polarized, not to see the fish, but to read the water. Stream thermometer. I'm a nut on reading the water temperature. I can look on my calendar and show you years and years and years of water temperatures on almost any day throughout the entire season. Water temperature is quite a factor on smallmouth. Wading staff. I would not even think about going in the water without a Falstaff stick. Now, they make these in a couple different sizes. I like the one that's 3/4 of an inch in diameter. It's about 50 inches long. But Falstaff stick is ideal. Knot tying tools. If you need them to attach your flies or to put your tippet on, go for them. Waterproof flashlight. Yes, my goodness. I fish right up to dark almost every evening throughout the middle of the season. You need that to help you change flies, to climb out of the stream, and all that type stuff. Silicone dry fly floating on your dry flies. Your caddis flies come on early in the year, and then you'll have your hexagenias and all that throughout. So we use that on the dry flies and on the deer hair bugs. While I'm thinking about creams, let me tell you about two things. You definitely want a good sunscreen. You definitely want to have some insect repellent. However, on these last two, don't let them get on the fly line and don't let them get on the rod. I have almost messed up a good Gary Howell's bamboo one time with an insect repellent getting on there and dissolving the finish. And I have seen many, many good fly lines ruined when the bug repellent got on them, or insect or sunscreen. I've seen both of them mess them up. So just make sure you don't get the bug juice and the sunscreen. Just don't get those on your fly line or your rod. Murray's hook sharpening file. I use mine probably in 4 hours of fishing. I'll probably use it at least a half a dozen times to make sure all my hooks are good and sharp. I do carry an emergency Ziploc bag in the back of my vest. This will contain a butane lighter, wader patching kit, Swiss Army knife, referee's whistle to scream for help, just maybe even a rod repairing equipment. I carry an extra tip-top back there with thermoplastic cement to glue that thing on. Because if you're away from the car and break the tip off the rod, you can sometime salvage it by gluing another tip-top back on there. Sawyer Extractor Snake Bite Kit. This is just a great big suction cup that sucks the venom out where the guy put it in. You don't have too much trouble with this. We do have water snakes in the river, which are no problem, but we do have copperheads and rattlesnakes along the mountainside of the river. So be respectful of those, but give yourself an edge by carrying a Sawyer extractor. Leader straightener, I think it's very much worthwhile. And sometimes you may have to straighten a leader out 2 or 3 times a day while you're fishing. Some kind of nipper to cut your knots with. I bit one off and have a cap on the front of a tooth right now because I was too dumb to do it the right way. Some kind of debarbing, pliers, hemostat, forceps, that kind of thing. We're fishing barbless on all of this. So some kind of clamp. I like the Dr. Slick's clamp for this. And it simplifies releasing the fish. Now, that's just my view on some of the tackle we use. Now, next week we'll be talking about the food, where you find the food, and some of the flies we use to match it. If you have any questions on that, just call me, Harry Murray, at Murray's Fly Shop in Edinburgh, Virginia, and I'll be glad to help you on anything you have any questions about. Thank you very much.